Maybe you're looking to grow in Christ. Maybe you're looking to know if God does really exist. Well, you've come to the right place as we go to God's Word for answers for life. Abounding Grace with Pastor Chris Gordon is coming up next. Join us. Welcome to today's edition of Abounding Grace with Pastor Chris Gordon from United Reformed Church here in Linden. Each day we come to you with just a few minutes of time to spend in God's Word that we might grow in grace, that we might find ourselves encouraged in our walk with Christ. And for those who are seeking to know if God really does exist, well, the answers again are found right here in God's Word. Won't you join us for this edition of Abounding Grace? Here's Pastor Chris Gordon.
Well, yesterday on Abounding Grace, we worked through God's design and structuring and why He gave governing authorities in the city of man. We looked at the fact that there are two separate kingdoms, the city of God and the city of man. Augustine, of course, wrote about this in his famous book, something that was taught all throughout the periods of the Reformation, and a wonderful truth to understand what our relationship is to be to the civil realm. God established the city of man and has appointed rulers for what purpose? Well, to establish justice, to maintain peace and tranquility among neighbors so that we don't destroy ourselves. God did this in great benefit and His common blessings to society to arrange governing authorities. He never mandated that in the city of man it had to be Christians in these positions of leadership. Sure, it's great if they are. But God in His common mercies and beneficence, this is why He did this. So that through the moral law written on the conscience, He would govern the world through sinful men. I know this is difficult for some to believe, but on this side of heaven, the only Christian nation was Israel in the land. There's really no such thing as a Christian nation. A Christian nation is what we call a theocracy, where the government and religion are directly under God Himself. But really, the only Christian nation then in the New Testament is who? Well, it's the church. Remember what he said in 1 Peter 2. But you are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, His own special people, that you may proclaim the praises of Him who called you out of darkness into His marvelous light. It's the church. And when we try to Christianize a secular government, we're confusing two kingdoms that have been designed separately, that have separate mandates for the present until God comes and that theocracy is reinstated in the new heavens and the new earth. God originally designed to separate these kingdoms from one another. The only period in history that that wasn't so is Israel in the land. Now, Jesus said this. Remember when He was asked by Pilate, you know, why when He was on trial? And what did Jesus say? My kingdom is not of this world. If my kingdom were of this world, my servants would fight so that I should not be delivered to the Jews. But now my kingdom is not from here. Pilate said to Him, are you a king then? Jesus answered, you say rightly that I'm a king. You hear what He said? I'm a king, all right, only my kingdom is not of this world. If I wanted to make the kingdom of this world Christian, my servants would take up the sword and fight for it. Jesus said, here are two distinct kingdoms. In fact, when Peter drew the sword, when they were going to take Jesus to the cross, he drew the sword to fight and he struck off Malchus's ear. Jesus said to him, put your sword in its place, for all who take the sword will perish by the sword. Jesus' kingdom was not to be brought in through revolution. There have always been different reactions by Christians to the governing authorities, haven't there? There have been these enthusiasts who think that unless civil government is removed, the kingdom of Jesus cannot really be advanced. And so in history, you've had all these enthusiasts who try to overthrow government. In the days of the Reformation, the Anabaptists took over a city and turned it into a violent polygamous compound, executed anyone who did not abide by the old theocratic laws. In the days of Oliver Cromwell, the same mentality existed. They thought God had sent them on a divine command for a new utopian Christian order for England. We've seen this in many forms in our day. From the Crusades, trying to force Christianity by sword, to the David Koresh compound, right? To the Jim Jones thing that was just rehearsed in recent days again over the news, as it was some 20 years now since that's happened. to all these aspirations to have a Christian nation, to reclaim it as a Christian nation and usher in the kingdom now. Let me ask, this is a crucial question. When the goal of the church becomes focused on transforming or even overthrowing secular government, what do you think the church's message becomes? Well, I'll tell you this much. Preaching Jesus, the sacraments, all take a back seat, if not are lost, to political and moral and social causes. Isn't that what's happened? Churches aren't preaching Christ, but they're all concerned about social causes and political causes. The fact is, in many respects, pastors and elders aren't even equipped to train to deal with these issues. I mean, when a pastor gets up and is promoting political agendas and is pushing for environmental causes and social causes, look, he's no more qualified, maybe even less qualified than the average parishioner to deal with those things. Fact is, I'm trained to preach Jesus. Pastors are praying to be workers to the scripture, rightly dividing the word of truth. But when we try to, there's lots of people who could do social causes, and they do a good job. But the point is that when our message is transformed this way, the whole church is trivialized to the world. We just become another social institution, losing all respect. That's what's happened. Now, what am I saying? Just tuck away in our churches and not be active? Of course not. You as Christians individually should be active in the world as salt and light. You should vote. You should vote as a Christian. You should be salt and light and speak clearly on those issues in our society that cast down moral law in our communities. But the church as the church and a separate institution should follow its mandate. Jesus gave that mandate in Matthew chapter 28 in the Great Commission. Go into all the world and what? Preach and baptize. Preach Christ as a savior from sin, not political causes. You know, Abraham Kuyper, he was a famous Dutch theologian, was often attributed to the transformationalist cause. But you know, he would be appalled today at what Christians are doing. Christians as Christians should contribute to the shaping of culture. But the church as the church does not create cultural and economic and social policies. That's not what we're called to do. My point is that we have to understand God has ordained two separate kingdoms, and they're not to be confused or mingled. And since Christians have dual citizenship, with their heavenly citizenship taking priority, they are to be good citizens in the city of man. We are citizens here too. We are to be good citizens, recognizing that God has ordained governing authorities for our good. You know what Martin Luther once said? Martin Luther understood this. He said, I would rather be governed by a competent Turk, that's a Muslim, than an incompetent Christian. Interesting statement, isn't it? Paul gives us the reasons today in Romans 13 for this. The reasons we are to submit to the governing authorities. Listen to them carefully. Today and tomorrow we'll finish this. The first is in verse 2. Therefore, whoever resists the authority resists the ordinance of God, and those who resist will bring judgment on themselves. That's a pretty good reason. When we resist authority, we're resisting God. You know, we all have authority figures placed over us. But the point is that these authority figures are appointed by God for our good. You know, a policeman pulls us over. I'm going to argue him, right? Not to get the ticket. But actually, he's there for my safety. You know, it's just common today to trash everyone in authority positions. You know, if parents sit around and trash authority in front of their children, don't be surprised when those children grow up and have no respect for it. I am shocked at the violent attacks with the mouth on our president today. Both of them, the president-elect and the president in office now. You know how the Lord views it? All is an attack and resistance of him. Look, there's no perfect governing authority. Every governing authority in this world has been sinful. Every single one. And we should fear because God says it's going to bring judgment on yourself. You know, this is taught throughout the Old Testament. Listen to Numbers 12. Then Miriam and Aaron spoke against Moses because of the Ethiopian woman he had married. For he had married an Ethiopian woman. So they said, has the Lord indeed spoken only through Moses? Has he not spoken through us also? And the Lord heard it. Now the man Moses was a very humble, more than all men who were on the face of the earth. Suddenly the Lord said to Moses, Aaron, and Miriam, come out, you three, to the tabernacle of meeting. So the three came out. The Lord came down in a pillar of cloud and stood in the door of the tabernacle and called Aaron and Miriam, and both went forward. Then he said, hear now my words. If there is a prophet among you, I, the Lord, make myself known to him in a vision. I speak to him in a dream. Not so with my servant Moses. He's faithful in all my house. I speak to him face to face, even plainly and not in dark sayings. And he sees the form of the Lord. Why then were you not afraid to speak against my servant Moses? So the anger of the Lord was aroused against them, and he departed. And when the cloud departed above the tabernacle, suddenly Miriam became leprous, as white as snow. Know what happened with Korah and his rebellion? The ground opened up and swallowed them. Even when Paul was unfairly beaten, remember he was being beaten? Which of us have been beaten for our faith? Paul lashed out, God will strike you, you whitewashed wall, for you sit to judge me according to the laws, and do you command me to be struck contrary to the law? And those stood by said, do you revile God's high priest? See, do you speak evil of the authority of God's appointed authority? Then Paul said, I did not know, brethren, that he was the high priest, for it is written, you shall not speak evil of a ruler of your people. See what Paul's saying here. Whoever resists the authority resists God. He says, and this is where we'll pick up tomorrow, for rulers are not a terror to good works, but to evil. You want to be unafraid of the authority? Do what is good, and you will have praise from the same, for he is God's minister to you for good. The Lord designed all authority structures, governing authorities, for our good, to restrain wickedness, to stop violence, and that his church would be unhindered in its mission to proclaim the gospel of Jesus to sinners, to administer the sacraments and exercise discipline. That's our mandate. God ordained these things for good. Can you imagine if both these kingdoms lived in mutual harmony and respect for one another? What that would create in society, not trashing, not tearing down. God is telling us this is his design. And such a design, when it is honored, accomplishes the purposes that God gave when he ordained it. My friends, let's give serious thought to what design for our good, that we may glorify our Father in heaven.
Studying God's Word that we might grow in our affection and love for Christ. This has been Abounding Grace with our teacher and pastor Chris Gordon from United Reformed Church here in Linden. We come to you each and every day for a short time that we might study God's Word together, that we might grow in His grace and His amazing love for us. If you have questions or comments, as always, we stand ready to do our best to answer them. We're at 360-318-0429. Again, you can reach us at 360-318-0429. That's 360-318-0429. You can find out a bit more about us, United Reformed Church here in Linden, who we are, what we believe, worship opportunities, and the like, at lindenurc.com. Now, that's our website where we even have some of the past messages as preached by Pastor Chris Gordon. They're available for you to listen to. Again, lindenurc.com. And then, as always, you're welcome to join us for worship. Our service times are at 10 a.m. and 7 p.m. We meet at 8650 Benson Road here in Linden, Washington. For directions, either go to our website, lindenurc.com, or again, call 360-318-0429. That's 360-318-0429. We thank you for joining us today and look forward to seeing you next time for another broadcast of Abounding Grace with Pastor Chris Gordon.